Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And now we have a very special message from Brian Gittins.
I genuinely don't know why you would listen to this podcast. No, honestly, because I've spent an hour in their company and it's utterly tedious. And no amount of editing is going to sort this mother out. So, yeah, move on, find a better one. There's a cracking top 10 in the iTunes.
Oh, hey there. You're listening to another episode of This Thing On. I'm Alex Petrovic, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Foster.
Hello.
Producer Al.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, David Earl.
Hi.
Hi, David. How are you?
Yeah, can we have a little break?
Yeah. You know the rules. How have you been?
Yeah, good. Yeah, very good. We were chatting fine just then, as soon as and we started.
As soon as it's alive, I was like, we've never met.
I'm amazed by that.
Do you like my view?
I love cricket.
Do you not think the view is obscured by that shrubbery?
Well, yeah.
You can see one umpire.
Do you like cricket?
Yeah. I don't go as much as I should, but...
Well, you don't have to, do you?
Well, unless you like looking at outfield umpires.
Yeah. Just to let people know what we're looking at, outside Alex Petrovic's window, which is where we are. We're not in our usual Amazing Plus studio, which we normally
all try. We've never recorded there, have we?
Yeah, we're that. In Alex Petrovic's living room, out of his living room window, you can see Sussex County Cricket Ground.
Beautiful.
In Hove. Yeah. Beautiful. Actually see the I've game happening.
You get... Really?
Yeah.
You
Now we've got something.
Now we go.
Hang on a minute.
Let it begin.
I think I have anyway.
When you were younger or recently?
Yeah,
or?
Under 14, Sussex. Okay. Yeah.
Under 12s.
Oh, brilliant. I had a trial for Surrey under 15.
What?
Didn't get in, but.
What were. Bowler, opening bowler?
Bowler, opening bowler.
Knew
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah.
What am I?
Oh, I reckon. I reckon you're a batsman.
Opening batsman.
Oh, we got to get in the nets. Definitely.
Yeah. Do you still play?
I've just got back into
really
it.
Is this really tedious?
No,
this is great. This is good stuff. I've just got back into it after about 15 years I didn't play for, and this is my first season back. I've just finished now.
Who did you play for?
Do you know what? They've wanted me to mention it on the podcast for the whole of the summer.
No,
they're called Hadlow Down.
Right,
based out in Sussex, Hadlow Down Cricket Club.
That's our first shout out.
There you go. It is.
Are you panicking because this is really dull?
No.
This is as good as it's going
to
get.
I'm waiting for my moment to shine with my cricket anecdote.
But yeah, started playing again. So yeah, if you want to get back into it,
I'm playing.
Come along. Are you playing? Who are you playing for?
This is the first season where I haven't played for 30 odd seasons.
Right. Who's
I've
that?
I play for Balcombe.
Balcombe. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Boy, I think a different league to us. Somewhere.
Well, we won the West Sussex Div 1 last year.
Oh,
Oh,
well done.
Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. So why not this year then?
Babies.
Ah, yeah.
Making loads of babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valid excuse. Yeah. Are you a cricket player, Joe?
Surprisingly, no. Never played it. Never
not
really
interested.
No, well, you know, I mean, no is probably right, but no, I've never. Do you know what? I've never received an invitation.
Oh.
Oh. Which is a lie because Alex has asked me. I'm busy. When's it? Oh, it's on Sunday, isn't it?
Sunday.
So, yeah.
That's your hangover day.
I can't do that. Yeah. No, we don't go outside on Sundays. I've actually refused to go to my mother's house on Sundays every Sunday for the rest of my life because I don't like leaving the house on Sundays. So, yeah.
Joe, we play on Saturdays, mate, in the league. So, oh. There you go. Done deal.
What's your excuse now?
I'm suddenly busy. I'm doing on Saturday. I'm doing the things that mean that I have to stay in on Sundays, so unfortunately I can't make it. Have been playing a lot of tennis though, guys.
Oh,
really?
That's right. Hang on a minute. There's a rivalry set up. Look at this dynamic. Where did this come from? Pulled out of the air.
Natural enemies, cricketers and tennis players.
Yeah. Both sort of
Who's
the same, but different.
Player?
No, I don't even watch it.
I was on the train with Greg Grzeszczyk yesterday.
Really? Where was he going? Where was he going?
It was in Three Bridges.
Oh, really?
I was sort of really depressed to see him on the station.
This far south.
That's so funny. Just because of where you've seen her celebrity. Oh, he must be doing
life's
so...
really disappointing.
Oh, I saw Sid Owen in Burgess Hill, the poor fucker.
I've seen Sid Owen. I've been to a party.
In Burgess Hill?
I've been to a party with Sid. And the owner of Pepo Jeans. But that's... That's...
Where was that?
I don't know. Let's move on.
Sid Owen's single is fantastic, by the way, for anyone who hasn't heard it. It's got a good thing going. All right.
Good.
Helpful tips.
To be fair, the Sussex area is great for celebrity spotting like that.
Yeah.
You get some good ones.
Well, don't you just spot the celebrities that play at the cricket?
Yeah,
that's something. That's something that's quite interesting, isn't it? Didn't Elton John?
Yeah, I went to that
because I lived in a flat over there, and I could see. I can see over this one.
Which is two people from two different sides of the cricket field. As the saying goes.
It's nice to meet up. But I remember Elton having his gig.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Were you here then?
Yes, yeah. No, I wasn't living here then, but I went to that concert. Okay. Since then, we've had all the favourites. It's, Tom Jones.
Okay.
McFly.
Right.
Madness.
Yeah,
Ollie Murs played recently.
JLS, Ollie Murs, that's it.
There's my friend's got a video of Ollie Murs because loads of people, and he happened to be in this group of people, stand by where you can still see the stage, but you don't have to pay. But it's shit. And there was some woman on a really high wall, like watching Ollie Murs sort of waving her arms in the air, like ecstatic. But the wall was, I was watching, he made a video of it. The wall was far too high. Like, do you know what I mean? If it would have been the Rolling Stones, I wouldn't have climbed a wall and sort of behaved so recklessly. Yeah. But Ollie Murs, she had to see him. She had to get her.
Well, we tried to, when it was Madness, we tried to sneak in. And they were so worried about people sneaking in, they put security on every single driveway around the...
How did you try and sneak in?
We were just going to kind of go through a driveway and hop over a fence and get in that way. And they were so focused...
Like that. sounds like such a...
Rebel without a cause. Except I did have a cause, free gigs. But yeah, they were so focused on stopping people getting in, they put security on all the driveways. By the time the gig started, they had no security on the front gate, so we just walked through the front gate.
Oh,
nice.
Which was that Elton or Tom?
That was Madness.
Oh, it was Madness.
Like a sort of Trojan horse approach.
Exactly. What? Hit them where you least expect them, the front gate.
Yeah. What? So can you get through the drive? I mean, I'm just asking really for the listeners.
Yes, some of the driveways, I think, well, we thought, back onto the cricket ground.
I bet that's such an old wives' tale, isn't it? I bet there is not... for Madness!
An old wives' tale. I hear you can sneak into the cricket ground for free music concerts.
Yeah, well, I would have... That sounds like a lie I would have heard. But Madness is quite a big band, isn't it? They're going to have big security and people stopping. But also, great view... Yeah, I mean...
Yes.
Yeah. Turns out they do. Just not on the front gate. Yeah. The fireworks as well. You've got prime place.
That's the best thing, is the fireworks. Just because all the other stuff is sort of, the music's muffled, the cricket's obscured.
I saw a streaker there last year, and that was
tremendous. At the fireworks?
No.
That'd be dangerous.
Playing with fire.
Yeah. Oh, he was brilliant. He was amazing.
What, a streaker at the cricket?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he sort of headed towards the square.
Yeah.
And then sort of panicked.
This must have been like a T20 2020 game.
Yeah, it was.
Like
yeah.
Should I just do it on like a day of a county game with like eight people there? Yeah. I'm just going to do it. You've got to start off somewhere, haven't you?
Now, there's literally four audience. So if you did it today. Yeah.
It's depressing, though.
Yeah. Well, I'll be where you start off. It'd be like doing your first 5 minutes at a stand up gig.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to build up to the Apollo.
That's the open spot of streaking. Yeah. I've got a great 1 minute where I just run in circles.
Either that or he's scaling down. He's been banned from
he's
everywhere.
Retiring, you
mean. And he's like, just wants one last go at it.
The final hurrah on a Wednesday afternoon at the Hove Cricket Ground. Thank you.
I love those rounds. I love them.
If you love them, you've come to the right podcast.
Normally get cut out, not now. Not today.
Don't you dare cut out.
He makes me look seamless.
Yeah. Drink it in. Also, as well, the only other way out of it is to weave a topic out of some conversation and a question. So
it's hard to keep talking all the time, isn't it?
It's effort.
Just have a break, mate.
I mean, why do we do a podcast? We actively squeeze conversation out of each other that has not been there for months.
Well, you've got your podcast, haven't you? You've got the Brian Gittins podcast.
Thank you, producer Al.
Well, we can advertise these things.
At least one of us is professional.
How much editing goes into that? Because I know it's a lot of sound work in there, isn't there? Lots of bits and pieces and, you know, in the background.
Yeah, I mean,
like
we
that.
Hand it over to someone and he plays with it.
Yeah. But do you have moments you're like, oh, cut that bit out. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I said that thing.
Actually, in the latest one, I think we slagged off two or three comedians. So that's got to come out.
And we'll find out who those are at the end of the show.
I do get those texts from these two about, you know, about a week after the podcast. I've just remembered some awful thing I said.
Yeah.
Can we get rid of that one?
What I've realised is it's usually relating to something else that I can't be bothered to apologise for. So I go, yeah, I'll just cut something out of the podcast. That's sort of one, isn't it?
What, draw?
Yeah, even Stevens. That wrong has been righted. Yeah,
there we go. Yep. Keep it in.
Do you know what I love? It's the embracing. And it's such a...
We should have a montage of them.
Oh, God. We've done like... How many of these? We must have done like 20 of these.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we... Over the, like, the last 2 years, it's not like we don't know what we're doing.
It's all right.
It comes out great in the edit.
It's all right, guys, because I can solve the problem. Alex has had another health issue.
Yes. Oh, right.
Alex has constant health issues. Why don't you give us just a quick sort of rundown of the top sort of 10?
Well, the top 10 will be here for the whole hour.
You're an interesting guy.
Earlier in the year I had an eardrum operation. And I'm
really confident. Yeah. Really enjoying the moment.
I just can't hear how I sounded, so that's how I.
She had an eardrum.
Yeah, eardrum reconstructed.
Wow.
Just before we did a podcast with Zoe Lyons, and Alex turned up with sort of chased look in his eyes.
And my ear hanging off at like a right angle.
What was wrong with
there was just a hole in it, so they had to close. Just defective from when I was younger, but they didn't realise there was a hole in it till much later.
Okay.
And my new one is I've had
in
a
number 9.
We'll add some funky music it after.
Yeah.
And now I've been pretty much housebound for a month and a half with a triple hernia operation.
Triple hernia. Joe's just had one. Joe Wilkinson.
Oh really?
Yeah. He's had a hernia operation.
I didn't realise before I had it how common they are. Every person I said that I've had a hernia operation, they go, oh, yeah, I've had one, or that person's had one. I didn't realise how common they were.
So there's like a whole community.
Yeah, because I had three of them, and the position they were all in, and obviously it was quite bloated and quite swollen. I just literally couldn't even walk.
How did that occur?
The surgeon's exact words were wear and tear. Which
how old
is
are
quite,
you?
Nice.
How old are
you? 29. What?! And I'm not particularly active.
Tell you what's really weird is you are he is a hypochondriac as well. Yeah. But it's kind of like a hypochondriac with actual reasons to worry.
I don't know how you can't be a hypochondriac. I'm with you there.
Well, it's only natural. And the reason I found out about the ear and I found out about the stomach is because I'm a hypochondriac. The doctor's exact words to me with the ear thing was, can't see anything wrong, but if you want to see a specialist, you can. And then I saw the specialist, he was like, we need to operate as soon as possible. And it was only because I'm a hypochondriac that...
I started stand-up because I thought I had cancer.
Really?
Mm.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Keep that one in.
When did you start?
I was 31.
Was it just because like you thought you'd got like nothing to lose, you might as well...
Yeah, because I sort of wanted to do stand-up, but sort of didn't. But I was forced to by my agent. Not forced, but... encouraged to, and then I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then I found this lump on my hip, and went to see the doctor. He said, no, you're fine. I went, no, I'm not. Get someone else in. He said, no, you're fine. There's like a line of them saying, you're fine, mate.
But that's it. How do you find, as a fellow hypochondriac, how many people telling you it's fine do you have to listen to before?
Two. It was two
I think my record's three.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Third time's the lucky diagnosis.
Yeah,
but it's actually mentally draining sometimes. Like the hernia as well.
Are you serious?
I'm genuine hypochondriac.
Okay.
No, he really is.
But like Joe said, there's normally something wrong. Like with the hernias, I didn't realise it was three. I felt the pain for one.
Yeah.
And then I went just because I thought I should probably just get it checked out. And it always turns out to be something.
So what's the worst thing that can happen? Why do you worry?
It's a good question.
It's a great question. That's how I like to get to the nub.
the centre of the...
Love your nub.
I don't know. I guess just literally worst case scenarios, it's really serious and... death?
That's death.
Frowning in the corner.
Yeah. Well, I was interested in, because when you said like your agent was telling you to get in to start stand-up, was that what I said?
Yeah.
Were you acting before that then? Was it an acting agent?
Yeah. I wasn't acting. Do you want me to tell you something?
Yeah,
I find it really boring.
Oh, just all right. The brief highlights. The brief highlights. Yeah, bullet points.
So I was doing shitty jobs and frustrated, and then I found this website online called idiotlamp.com, and it was run by Jim Field Smith. Do you know him?
Yeah, the name rings well.
Directed Stag and Wrong Mans and. So I said, hello, can I write on your website, please? And he said, yeah. So I wrote a couple of things. And then I went off to Wales and made this video of this monster hunter called Graham Hitchens. And who would just sit at the side of the lake going, oh, I think I can see something.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. So I'm not confident what I've just seen. And for some reason, I drove all the way to Wales to film that when I could have just gone down. Local lake.
Hove Lagoon.
The River Cook.
So I made this little short film, 15, 20 minute video diary, sent it to Jim's agent. He received the package, and Ricky and Stephen were in the room when they received it. So they stuck it on and got a call that afternoon. I was like, fuck! Because this was like, I think Office Series 2 had just come out.
Oh, wow.
So they were like, yeah. Royalty. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're doing like, you didn't stand up for about 9 years, but when what was that first film you were in with that Gittins sort of appeared in?
Cemetery Junction.
Cemetery Junction, wasn't it? Was that about that time then?
No, this would have been about 2003, 2004, and I went to meet Ricky and Stephen while they were writing the Christmas special, and in fact, so I went to see them, so I was shitting it, and. They had an office on Oxford Street, and I went up the lift to like the seventh or eighth floor. The lift doors open. Ricky's standing there, and he said, "Can you take your shoes off, please, mate?" So I started undoing my shoes in the lift. I was really nervous. Yeah, take my shoes off.
Was he joking?
Yeah.
That's what he thought.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that now to every guest that comes up here. Right. To Alex.
I mean, I can't help but notice you got your shoes on, but
Wow. So I sort of met them, and then Ricky put me in extras, and then and then Cemetery Junction was that 2009, 2008.
So was this all pre doing live stand up?
No, I started stand-up in 2005, 2006. My agent just said, listen, if you want to get anywhere, you've got to put yourself out there and do stand-up. And I was like, oh, God, I need cancer.
Got it.
No, I did, do you know Jim Grant?
Yeah.
So I did, my first gig was for Jim in Eastbourne at the bottom of some stairs.
He still does that gig. Still does it.
So the stage is the stairs,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, like the final step.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a interesting room to play.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it before, actually.
It was sort of crashed the night I did it by some people who just left the bingo wanted to, shout at some people doing stand-up, I think. It's interesting, but good.
Yeah, I've got no memory because it was just... You're just buzzing, aren't you, that first?
Yeah.
So you're walking down there and going, yeah, and going back upstairs.
More good in a sort of like, this is what you need to get used to kind of thing. But yeah. No, I think everyone should do it once.
What, that bar?
That thing, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because it is an interesting... Like, it's like when people... Sometimes you would do gigs with people who are quite precious and don't want to
do certain things when you really just have to do it in terrible situations to become good, I think.
Yeah. I don't know what you learn, though, from doing it in those terrible situations.
Well, I'm just hoping it's something.
I don't know what you do learn, though, really.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone always says you've got to do those gigs where you travel for 3 hours and perform to two people that hate you, and that's how you learn, but...
I've
learned self-loathing.
Yeah, that was another Jim Grant. I think I travelled down.
Oh, you've done that one too.
Yeah,
somewhere in the countryside.
And it's a 4-hour journey, no money. Thanks, Jim.
keep booking me.
Yeah. I don't know what you do learn, to be honest.
I remember there was one I did in Southampton where there was football on the TV and a pool table, and the guy walked up to the microphone and all the people were sort of sat drinking, none of whom wanted to come to anything. They just wanted to sit and drink themselves to death. But he went up to the microphone and said, okay, cool, we're going to start the stand-up comedy night. If the barman could just turn off the football, please. And there were eight people there to watch the football, and they all just turned around like, what the fuck? Like, you have literally ruined it. And then we had to perform. And he was the compere as well. So they hated the show. They hated every aspect of the show. I was just like, oh, man.
I've done a gig where there was two audience members.
Yeah.
And the host... one of the first things he said to them was, are you here for the comedy? Did you know there was comedy happening? And they said no. And the night proceeded anyway.
I genuinely don't know what you learn, because you just, I don't know, apart from maybe appreciate the good gigs.
Mm.
But I don't do that either.
there is two types of bad gigs. So there's those gigs that are never going to work, and then there's the ones that are in sort of a hotel function room where you walk in and there is 100 people, but they literally do not give a fuck. And that is different. That is as horrible, but in such a different way. Because it's like, you, in theory... You could/should be able to make it work, but because of the dinner's being served or something, just something,
the noisiest cutlery,
actually, I don't even like thinking about it. But you know, those ones are as difficult to deal with, I think.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah. Has Brian Gittins ever had to do a corporate gig?
I did do one once. It was to a company. I think I've been going 2 or 3 years. It went fine, actually. Yeah. I think it's because I just got the boss up and put masks on them.
That's
the thing with the court, if you could get them involved like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how bad they are. I think it would just be, because I've had so many bad gigs, just be yet another one.
top 10 rundown.
Reading, number one. Yeah.
But Reading's such a...
Reading Festival.
It just seems almost unplayable. Because I've been in the audience watching some comedians before I even kind of got involved with comedy. And it just looks... It's
horrible.
It's unbearable.
Yeah. I think Milton Jones was on before me and he was just nailing it. And then... I remember walking out to state. I don't know what, I think it holds like 2,000.
Yeah,
it was
rammed. It's a big tent. Yeah.
And it just felt like this big breathing beast in front of me. made up a sort
hot festival breath.
Yeah. And I think I managed to get through 3 minutes, then just the back of the tent, just fuck off. I thought, that's it. That's kind of, he's now given them permission to...
Yeah. And how long did you have to do?
I did 20 and I was just like, I'm not going anyway. Come on! Inside going... And I think that day, Neil Hamburg was bottled off.
Yep. I've seen him be bottled off before supporting Tenacious D, I want to say.
Right.
And that was at Brighton Centre. It's just... Sometimes it's just...
Oh, so there was a guy at the back of the tent and he shouted something. I said, come on, you fucking want some. I got off the stage and down to the railing and he got up and started climbing over people.
Oh my God.
That's so insane. Remain in character, David.
How far did he get?
I can't remember. He quite a way. I mean, all the security were there and It's so weird when you're on stage, the choices you make, choices I make.
You've got to really make that choice, though, haven't you?
Or fight.
The choice to fight.
Yeah.
But like, otherwise, you are like, say in that set, you will die from there if you don't confront that guy. I think.
Yeah.
But, do you ever like think or say things as Gittins, but afterwards you're kind of like you review those things, or is it just once you're in the zone as the character?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when I'm on stage. I don't know what's about to come out. My main rule is to kind of make the worst decisions.
Yeah.
in certain situations, so if there's an atmosphere, kill it.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, it's just this man should not be on stage. So what would a man who shouldn't be entertaining? What would he say in this situation? And yeah.
So how many different characters do you've got? Because you've got Brian Gittins, Steve Cumberland.
That's about it, really. And maybe Graham, the Monster Hunter. But it's just those two, really.
I saw you do one once of a guy who was a sort of basically a. It was kind of a total prick.
That'd be the combo.
Is it?
Steve Cumberland.
Because it was very different when I originally saw it. It was a Knock Two Bag in the Hanbury Ballroom a long time ago.
Yeah, it's the only time I've done it live. Yeah.
That's the same. That seemed completely different then.
Right.
In comparison to now.
Right.
Did you do it? I imagine it's evolved. Because I remember you asked, you said something that was sort of a brag, but not really. And then you looked at a guy, pointed at him, and said, "That's what you're digging with." But I can't.
I remember there's a guy on the front row. I went, "Wow, look at you." got him up. He was wearing exactly what I was wearing.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah,
All Saints, and he was sort of yeah.
It was actually, and that room was. There was a lot of. It was like a sellout thing. I don't know why it stopped at the Hanbury.
I think Romesh was on that night.
Yeah, Romesh was on that night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ramesh was on this podcast last month and was very angry about the numbers of the flats.
That's why I went to rescue you. I had to explain why I'd come to rescue David from the ground floor.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really good night.
From the early clip you were talking about that got you seen by Ricky and Stephen, was that Gittins or was that just...
No, that was Graham.
That was Graham.
Yeah. That was Graham, and then and because they showed an interest, I was like, right, let's try and come up with other characters, and then I just came up with Brian, and sent that off to them, and Ricky rang me up, and it's just like it just gives you when you're dying on stage, just gives you a little bit of
that faith in the
Well, he likes it, so yeah.
And have you supported Ricky Gervais as Brian Gittins?
Yeah, I did about 20 dates last year with Ricky on the warm-up tours. And
what's it like kind of going from to those sort of arenas? We
were only playing up to 500 seats. We did an 800-900 seater, but they were mainly at the Leicester Square Theatre, so it's about 400 seats, and they were lovely.
Nice.
They were really lovely. But he would invite me on. He would go, okay, the next guest is, what do you say, he's... convicted paedophile. I'm trying to move away from this. Grubby. But he says he's a convicted paedophile, likes fiddling with children, and let me tell you, after 5 minutes of his act, you're going to wish he was fiddling with children. Welcome to the stage. Hello.
You do like the comparing as well, isn't it? You do quite a lot of comparing, don't you? Or is it just at your night, once a month?
I think it's just at my night. I wouldn't do it more.
Do you prefer doing a set or comparing?
I really like comparing my night, but it doesn't feel. It feels just like a silly party.
Yeah, it does. That's what I was saying. It is like a party, isn't it?
Yeah, going into someone else's night and comparing, I think I'd destroy it. I know. Can't help myself. I really like. So I've just started doing an hour show. I really like doing the show now because you just make it whatever it is, and if they don't like it, they leave. And instead of being on a mixed bill where, you know, you're in amongst different acts and the audience aren't there to see you and they don't give a shit about you, and that's not much fun.
Yeah.
It's quite nice having a like a devoted audience kind of.
Oh, it's lovely.
And there's someone that comes to your to getting to know you every month from like...
From Yorkshire.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
amazing.
That is crazy. Yeah. It's definitely crazy. Yeah, yeah. I think she's there for David, to be honest, more than... I think she's there for David Edwards.
Your...
Do you know David Edwards?
Yes, yes, yeah. Very, very funny. I compared his first ever gig.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's... Excellent.
Do you know, I saw... Did you go out to Edinburgh, Al?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Did you see his show
there? I did see his show
there, I thought it was great.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Just a nice build-up of all the stuff he's been doing for ages, you know, like... Yeah.
He did really well when we went to
see him. So how did you discover... Where did you kind of find him or...
So I was doing a crappy little internet radio show, and I think originally he got in touch with me on Facebook and sent me a video saying, would you watch this and tell me what you think? And I was like... Oh, off. So you just kind of think, oh, this is just gonna be some weirdo, and so I watched a bit. I was like, yeah, and then he got in touch. He rang up my radio show. I was like, God, he's really funny, and it suddenly dawned on me, it's the guy that sent me that original video. Okay. So I watched it again and thought, oh, it was great, and then he just made me laugh so much on the radio.
What was this kind of character he was doing then, or?
That's not a character.
It's really not, is it? Like...
Okay, character in quotation marks.
No, yeah. So he's just doing that heightened version of himself, and
that's really nice, though, when you realise that it's not a character at all. It's one of
Well, it sort of is. I mean, he knows what's funny. Yeah. Definitely knows what's funny.
Yeah. And,
I wouldn't do it if it was, you know.
Well, yeah, I know the situation that you're referring to, but yeah, no, he knows he's got bits, and the bits are awesome. But he is also a very nice, charming person.
Oh, delightful,
lovely.
Yeah, he is. He's great. Yeah.
Do you ever find, because obviously the character Gittins is so distinctive. Do you ever have people find it like, because obviously it's a bit of an exclusive having you as David Earl on the podcast.
Wow, incredible. Incredible moment.
Neon lights. But because you don't do as much as yourself in terms of gigs or stuff like that.
Oh my God, no.
Do you have people think you are the character in terms of they're shocked when they meet you? Or
I know Joe met someone recently and went, oh, I saw some guy in Brighton and runs a gig, blah, blah, blah. And Joe went, oh, that's my mate, Dave. And he went, sorry? How can you honestly think that a bloke on stage exists in society
as a functioning member?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking. I'm surely they can see it's an idiot dressed as an idiot. Yeah.
How was the character developed over time? Because he owned like a cafe or
Originally I did a video. The first video I did was. He turned on this video and he put this hasn't developed at all. Put on his wig.
Still doing it.
Learned nothing. And but he put loads of sort of clown makeup on and he was like, oh, and his job used to be, I've been cleaning, sucking the shit out of the toilets and the festivals. So that was his job. He'd go drive around sucking shit out the toilets. And then when I get home, I'll have to, you know, express myself. But looking back
character
now...
Character progression.
But looking back now, I was like, fuck, I had a job then where I was just delivering building tools, really depressed, and then coming home and making videos. So, you know, that was obviously just me with a wig on. Yeah. But no, I had no progression.
Do you want to do your first feature, Al?
I think it is time. I think it's time for our first feature. It is Plots That About.
Plots, that a plot, 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 that a plot
Right, David. Obviously, you're a big fan of Plots That About.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm going to give you and Joe a film title each.
Yeah.
I'll let you describe. I'll give you both a film title each. It's a real film, but obviously it's not a particularly good film.
Okay.
I want you both to come up with a film plot.
Right.
And feel free to elaborate as much as you want who's in it and stuff like that.
Okay.
And whatever film producer Al would rather see is the winner. And then I'll tell you what the actual films are about at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Joe will be going first as our resident...
Person.
Your film.
Right.
Shanghai Surprise. Have you seen it before?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't. Shanghai Surprise. What I'm going to do is a change to what I've done previously because I always make it come back to the title, whereas this is not going to come back to the title at all.
Okay.
So Shanghai Surprise is about a loan adjuster working in Durrington.
Okay.
On sea.
And who plays this person?
He is played by Nathan Caton.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Our wonderful guest from previous show. Nathan Caton is the loan adjuster in Shanghai Surprise. And he doesn't want to be a loan adjuster anymore. He wants to be a serial killer. So he quits his job, which a lot of serial killers don't do. They continue working.
So he can really concentrate on it.
So they can really get to the bare
time and effort.
He's basically like a writer when you used to have, you know, in the 90s when everyone used to have the opportunity to stop working and do whatever they wanted to do. Like that. So he quits work and then starts killing people, and he realizes that it's not for him, but what he realizes is for him is being a train conductor. So he starts working on the trains, and like any train conductor, you have to start at the bottom.
Okay.
First of all, you get those little clippers made out of just aluminium or something, and everything's building. He idolizes this other train conductor who's played by Willem Dafoe. So he wants, and he's got gold clippers. And they leave his name is Ramsey, and when he clips it with the gold clippers, it leaves like an R in your train ticket.
Okay,
and everyone just thinks he's awesome. So he tries to work his way up with these terrible clippers, and then but the paths cross when he accidentally kills a passenger.
Okay.
But then he realizes that wasn't for him. No, I'm joking. No. But then he realizes that really, well, no, actually, he doesn't realize anything. He just gets arrested. But that's the sad truth, isn't it? So there you go. Shanghai Surprise.
Shanghai Surprise.
Oh my God. Oh, so wow.
Shanghai Surprise.
That's right. The surprise.
It is surprising, though.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
Yeah.
Right.
It's quite stressful. Yeah, game.
Yeah. Wow.
Beat that.
Wow. I hope you brought your A game.
Yeah.
David,
Joe's just gone to get a drink. He needs a drink after that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Wow. There you
quite
go.
Under pressure, eh?
David, your film.
Yeah.
I hope you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Cool as Ice.
Right.
Have you seen that before?
No.
Perfect.
So I just wait for him to sit down. It's quite rude.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So sorry. No.
cool as
ice.
I
mean, wait till the designated breaks. Like a good guest.
Went cool as ice. This is really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool as ice.
You can give you a minute to come up with a plot if you want. That's not a problem.
No. Okay.
I always lose.
Cool as ice.
So, you know, it's cool as ice.
Cool as ice.
Wow. This is Loss Adjuster.
It's the sequel.
You've gone back to it.
Oh, I really want to say exactly what you said. cool as ice. Wow. So there's this guy, and there's two guys, they're twins, and they're snooker referees.
Perfect.
No, nice.
Len Ganley? Len Ganley, the old snooker referee?
Yeah.
Just sort of based on him.
Okay. Who plays them?
Huh?
Who plays the snooker referee?
So, not Mark. What's his name? God, I'm going to lose this guy. How can I lose this one?
He's giving you an open goal.
Oh, God, I'm skewed out of the bar. So it's a snooker referee, and this is so hard. And because you kind of get in your brain, I've got to come up with a plot at the same time, it's got to be entertaining.
Not according to Joe.
No, I don't play that.
Right, ditch the snooker referee. I'm going to... so it's a man made of fucking hell. This is really stressful. Okay, the snooker referee and his brother are I can't get any further than that.
Didn't get much further. Yeah.
Tell you what,
yeah,
this is a thing. Why not start at what the end would be and work back?
That's a
lovely
idea. Okay,
yeah. He's a good producer, isn't he?
So they've just slaughtered this whole Amazonian tribe.
This could be it because it's kind of like,
no, we've got the beginning and we've got the end.
There's so many developments.
It's one of those films that starts off.
You're going to get four plot points.
Oh, it's that middle bit that's tricky.
Yeah. No, it's great because
that's how you go to production companies. I've got the beginning, I've got the end. Can you help me add some filler in?
Yeah. So, okay, I've got it. So, who's that guy? Who took all those people to that island and slaughtered them all with Jim Brian, Jones?
Jim Jones, yeah.
Jim
sorry,
Jones. He's based on Jim Jones. but it's a snooker referee. And he's very calm and confident, and he's cool as ice. And
nice.
They always are. Yeah.
And so him and his brother... Oh, I don't know. They go off to the they ditch their jobs, and they go off to. Come on, you've had the ending. They slaughtered a tribe.
What more do you want?
We are being greedy at this point.
Oh
well. I'm sold. So
it's not, well, yeah.
Sorry, mate. Well, to be honest, he had you at slaughtered Amazonian tribe. There's absolutely no way the real film could ever compete with that.
No, right. Yeah.
The real one. A rebellious rapper falls in love with a not-so-rebellious girl. Everything seems to be...
I have seen Cool as Ice with Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Of course I've seen this.
It's a remake of Marlon Brando's film, The Wild One, and it's played by Vanilla Ice.
Fantastic. Why, of course, okay. Al.
Wow. Of course, I've got Vanilla Ice's... Yeah. Entire filmography.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry for ruining the Vanilla Ice reveal there, mate. I'm just going to say that.
I've never seen him that excited, yeah. So I'll allow him. Yeah.
As soon as I said it, realised what I'd done. But that's... I remember I watched that a few times. My brother was obsessed with Vanilla Ice when we were kids. So yeah, really? It's great. Yeah, him. Yeah, it's a, just it's a, Vanilla Ice is a biker. Like, what's not to like?
Well, that's and he saves the day in the end because some mobsters get involved, and obviously, who better to defuse a situation with mobsters than Vanilla Ice?
Yeah, yeah.
He's really. Did you say what Shanghai Surprise?
No, not yet. Not
okay.
yet.
Sorry, I'm 10 to hooks, mate.
I bet it's the thing I said. Bloody Hollywood.
Yeah, just says here what Joe said. The Lone Adjusters from Three Bridges, was it?
Don't on sea, mate.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Right. Shanghai Surprise. Sean Penn plays a down-on-his-luck con man struggling to sell glow-in-the-dark neckties. His path changes...
It's like as random.
His path changes when he meets and decides to help a nurse, played by Madonna, who is trying to obtain a supply of opium to help the suffering of her patients. The only problem is gangsters want the opium too. Chaos ensues.
That must have been where they got married, didn't they?
What was the surprise?
Did they?
Yeah, Sean Penn and Madonna.
Yeah.
Must be, maybe that's where they met.
Oh, that's where they wear all the glow in the dark neckties.
Did they get married? Sorry.
So there we go. Shanghai Surprise.
So what's
I've
the
met, first? I've met Madonna.
Have you?
No. No.
You could tell us anything. And we're like, oh, really? I thought he was dead years ago.
You didn't really see Greg Grzeszczyk on a train, no. did you?
Show off. Oh, wow.
Well,
right,
over to our esteemed judge.
Okay. Oh, wow. Right, well, where do I begin? First of all, like, I know Joe normally loses. But you put in quite a lot of effort there. So this is more in the balance, I'd have thought, than normal. Yeah. And we did just get a beginning and an end from David as well. Yeah. It wasn't even a loan adjuster. There was no job change.
Is this going to be my time?
Well,
don't get cocky, son.
Yeah, yeah. Because David did mention the title of the film.
Oh, you're not
plot.
Allowed to do that?
No, that's good. I'm going to say that. Oh, I like that.
I love the call.
You know I like that, Joe. You know, I like that. You were playing with fire.
So has that just edged it for
doing
me?
Doing that. Oh, God.
And he did say Amazonian tribe.
Yeah, which tribe, is
straight off the bat.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. And when you were trying to think of the plot and who acted characters, you just thought of somebody else that's been on this podcast.
And I also... I also use the phrase, and then he realised.
Oh, right, yeah.
About 17,000 times. So,
and then?
I mean...
yeah.
All right. So on this occasion, just because of the,
I think I only said 10 words.
About 10 words.
Snooker referee kills Amazonian tribe.
Had a twin brother. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's why I had a twin brother. Yeah, that takes up to 10.
That twist.
I forgot they were twins. That's a great film.
I mean, it's got Joe's endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, we love it.
Yeah. Well. I think if I was going to go and see one. it would be David's film.
Wow.
So David wins that one.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Joe. You tried. That was the closest it's ever been. Wow.
His would do better at Sundance, I think. Wow.
But, yeah, I see it as more of like an independent art film.
I was going
to. Short 5-minute film.
I was so convinced I had it in the bag that I literally finished what I was saying and then went to the fridge going, yeah, I'm sure this will work out.
Good luck, David.
This is my time to shine. I mean, I should point out that when we were doing, you know, David's got a tea. Mm. Alex, you've got a tea. Al's got a Diet Coke, and I have a gin. So,
do you think that's affected your game today?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to blame it on that, but, you know, I fucking lost.
Yeah. Wow.
Been sober the rest of the time. So, yeah. So maybe I'm just shit. Fun, though. Fun time.
We've had a lovely time. Yeah. Congratulations, David. You are the winner of today's Plots That About.
Thanks. Yay. I appreciate that.
Well, that was Plots That About. A battle for the ages. one thing I did actually want to ask you about that was, I saw quite recently, the thing with the guy from 60 Minute Makeover.
Oh, yeah.
So what? So for people that don't know, what actually happened there in Edinburgh?
So I was booked in to do this gig. And when I turned up, or maybe not when I turned up, maybe I checked the email again, but I found out it was an improv gig.
Okay.
Bit like set list or I'm not interested in any of that. And
So I turned out, I was like, oh man. And
anything you say what you want, and then if there's anything you want cut out, we can so we can bleep.
So the idea was, it was set, it was in a museum, and Alexis Dubus presenting it, and he would introduce you on, and you'd have to pretend to be a professor. And you kind of, your specific subject that you excelled at, you had to make up on the spot, and then they showed you images of historical artifacts. So he would suddenly go, okay, what's this? And you'd go,
sounds like me recording a podcast.
That's so
well, it's
difficult.
Hard, and it's kind of like, there's a reason people take time over scripts and that. And so I was like, I can't do this. And the first two comics went out, and you know, they did fine, and this isn't working, and the audience weren't going with it really. And I thought, okay, what would be funny? What would Brian do now? It was basically me. he'd go out on stage and he'd say, I don't want it to be part of this. So he introduced me and said, so this is, I can't remember, but I didn't get much. And then I was like, right, I don't want to be here. And I was kind of saying, you know, in the email, I didn't realise an improv show. I just want to go home. I don't want to be here. Thinking, oh, it's quite funny that someone doesn't want to play the game. And it turns out it wasn't, because no one enjoyed what I was doing. And then he would just show images. Oh, it was a boat. It was a duck. And so I left, and I walked back to the flat, and I was checking Twitter. And someone added me and said, as the worst comedian I've seen in 15 years of going to the Fringe, which is fine. But then I kind of looked who it was, and he was a TV director, did Come Dine With Me, and which was funny, and 60 Minute Makeover and something else, some other trash. But I thought, you can't be doing that if you're kind of in the same
industry.
Exactly,
yeah.
Don't at me.
No.
So I thought, right, I'm going to have some fun now, because I'm sort of wired from the gig. And so I kind of tweeted and said, oh, the director Come Dine With Me, he's having a pop. and then he tweeted again. He tweeted Ed Fringe as well and just said, don't ever book this comedian again. He's like,
my God.
So I was like, right, I'm definitely going to have fun. So I went through all his photos and started dragging photos. I mean, there were loads with his nan, which I was like, oh, I can't bring his nan into this. So I was just bringing photos of his curtains and just... So, yeah, and pictures of him. And then... and I think other comedians got involved, but then I think he made his account private. And then the following day, he rang my agent.
Fuming.
Yeah. And then I was banned from Twitter for...
You were banned from Twitter?
Yeah, so I went onto Twitter. I couldn't get on it. And they sent me a message saying, you have to do this to get your account.
Oh, you have to apologise.
Yeah,
to
you have to remove photos of his curtains. from your Twitter.
Well, that's because that's when I came into the storyline. Because I must have gone to bed early. When I woke up, there was just a stream of photos on my...
Yeah. I was like, you can't chuck a grenade at someone and then go and then run away and go. Ah.
Yeah.
I was like, no, because I was like, I don't want you doing this again to anyone else.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
I'm curious where you actually, well, how Twitter, the stuff they allow on Twitter, some of the comments.
Yeah,
and stuff,
I mean, it's
and
public.
They've deemed that, and you can report those things all you want.
I think the worst thing I did was take a picture. And just put turnip. You know, it wasn't brilliant.
That in
brilliant,
comparison to some of the stuff that is allowed on Twitter is deemed.
But I guess he maybe contacted... I think he did contact them.
He must have
reported me, yeah.
If he rang your agent...
Rang my agent twice, I think.
That's insane. I'm still angry.
Yeah.
What did he actually say to your agent?
Or taking it too far, and yeah, and she said, "Well, you know, I'm not responsible for what that idiot."
I can't keep him on a leash.
But I was like,
the dog will bark.
Yeah.
Prod the dog,
yeah,
and
he's so unpredictable.
But imagine being a friend who was up with him in Edinburgh, and you're like having breakfast the next morning. He's like, "I'm going to ring his agency." He's like, "Oh, fuck off!"
Oh, you'll never believe what he's done now. He's got the curtains involved.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I was flying up to Edinburgh, I was in the boarding lounge, whatever you call it, and there were these theatre students, and they had T-shirts of their theatre school and like Edinburgh 2017.
Yeah. Oh no!
And there,
like
were,
a stag do.
There were quite a few of them nearby, and they were kind of doing R&B harmonies, like. So I was like, oh God, what would Brian do here?
I sense a Gittins R&B album coming.
I think the first thing I did was tweet the theatre, just saying, "How dare you? Can you please have a word with your students and tell them to they're doing R&B harmonies? I don't like it." And they got back in touch with me and said it's their first production, it's the first time in Edinburgh, and you know they're just enjoying themselves. Sorry about that. And I said, "Well, I enjoy myself by doing R&B harmonies." So then loads of the students started attacking. And even boarded the plane.
So did this all happen while they were still doing it in terms of the response?
Yeah, so I think it all happened on the plane. When I got off the plane, they started tweeting me, going, "I don't know if they'd seen me."
I was imagining like, this prick's tweeting. Oh, there he is. Yeah. Seat 2A. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in character, love. Yeah.
I'm a different person.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Have you had any other Twitter
spats?
Yeah, spats the word I want.
No, I don't get that many, really.
Spats the perfect word.
I don't think so.
No one else who's sort of rang up your work.
Weird, isn't it?
That's such an extreme move.
Yeah. What do you think? Because the thing is, because obviously I'd missed it, and by the time I saw it all, he'd already turned his account to private. So I tried to follow him to see if I could. But yeah. he must have known
people were following him.
Exactly, too. Because he never accepted me. And he must have. Oh, really? Anyone that followed him in that 24-hour window, whatever, he probably didn't accept.
It seems like a really weird decision to do that when you're part of that, whatever is.
Exactly, and to tweet someone directly and then not. You're not.
I mean, how much do you hate an act to do that?
Yeah.
How much do? Don't nod, mate.
Yeah, I've seen you.
Well, the only other time people at things angrily is at like Curry's. You've lost my dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But on Facebook, you see worse stuff than that all the time.
Mm.
Oh, really? Well, there's group. The area that my mum lives in has this group called the Hanover Community Notice Board, and it's just full of fucking dicks who don't have anything to do, and they're just shit. Yeah. And I saw a post on there the other day, and it was like, it's like a 40-year-old person, right? And she sent a message saying, "Can anyone teach me to skateboard? I'm willing to trade it for yoga lessons." Like, it's literally the most Brighton place in the history of the world. And like, basically what happens is like someone puts something up. I saw a really funny one actually, but loads of people put up all their old shit and no one ever wants to buy it. But like, so, but some people, if you're giving it away free, everyone's like, it's gone within 10 minutes. But if you try and sell it in any way, people are really adverse to that. And I remember there was someone put up a post about 2 weeks ago, and someone drunk had obviously done a shit on someone's doorstep. And she said, "Right, just wanted to put up here so everyone in the local area knows that this is happening. You know, I think this is disgraceful. Me and my husband and my kids have woken up to this." And like about 7 comments down, someone had written, "I'll give you £4 for it." But there's spats on there all the time, and you just kind of think, like, I don't know why I'm still... It's like kind of like why you don't delete that person who always goes nuts on social media, because you want to see it.
When it explodes.
Yeah. You want to be part of it. It's like the Comedy Collective, because every now and again that happens on there, which is why I leave it on there. Yeah, and it's great. Like, you know. So you keep it on there. You're not going to delete it, but it does mean...
What arguments between comedians?
Well, there's huge arguments between comedians who all have... they write... paragraphs about the, like, some people will be like, yeah, well, someone will write a really flippant status when they're out on a night out or something, like they'll post something on there and then they'll be like, someone's written like a well-crafted paragraph, and I think it's really bad for, like, sort of people who are my brother's age, because the problem is nowadays, as even if you're not old, you're supposed to be completely right about everything all the time online. And if you're not, you just get the most horrendous shit. Like, there's always stuff on there. But the thing that I think is out of order is when new comedians, because it's supposed to be for new comedians, when new comedians go on there and say, hi, guys, I've not really done that much stuff, but I just wanted to see, I'm going to post a video here. If anyone can give me feedback, right? And you see people giving them feedback, and you know for a fact, like, they're shit. Like, the people giving them feedback, telling them that they're, you know, like, oh, well, basically, you've let these setup drag on too long. It's like, you don't fucking know anything. That's what you're talking about. Talking about, like, you know, what's that? Confused.com. Do you know what I mean? Sort of material, the sort of base level of material, or just shit that was popular about 5 years ago that they're still doing, like, the other week. Yet they're going, well, basically, what it is quite a complex art form, and I think what you've misjudged there. And it's like, you know nothing. But anyway, I think, you know, basically, this is what happens when you decide to drink gin. But this is what happens. And I knew it was going to happen. But
I knew that when he went to the fridge for the second time. Yeah.
Which was rude. You were right at the time, and you're right now.
You'll be crying in 10 minutes.
Why isn't everybody nice to me online? No, but, you know, there's some really bad stuff. The character assassination that happens on Facebook that people can get away with. Call someone a turnip and you get banned from the whole of Twitter.
That's in breach of their policy.
Turnip's fine.
You could have called him a satsuma and that would have been fine.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Any kind of vegetable. Any kind of vegetable.
Was it because it was a root vegetable? Wait, the notice board in our building has just become the lift here. We used to have a little stool. It was the weirdest little stool in the lift. It barely reached your calf.
Why would you have a stool?
It had no place, but it looked so old. It looked like it just may have just come with the building, and no one's ever claimed it. And then one day, it was just gone.
Right.
And it was just followed by weeks and weeks of just post-it notes in the lift going, bring back our stool. Where's our stool gone? And even if someone tried to...
Stool in the lift. Who's using the stool in the lift?
Well, it became like Stoolgate. Like, even if it was like a really serious... Like, I just remember the hot water's not going to be available between 12 p.m. this day and 5 in the afternoon. And people just write underneath it, that's all very well, but when are we getting our stool back? But even in like the foyer bit, like the foyer, well, like the bit just so you come in, there's like a little table there, and people just use it to get rid of stuff. They go, oh, I don't want this anymore, but I wonder if anyone else wants it.
Yeah,
but it's always stuff that you suspect they just couldn't be bothered to put it in the bin, rather than they've just out of the kindness of their heart offered out a salt and pepper shaker. That's just two cats doing it.
And the stool as well will have been the maintenance manager. Like, there's a new maintenance manager and he's trying to make a good impression, and he's walked into the lift and gone, what the fuck is that doing now? Get rid of that weird stool. Who even sits on that? And then he, like, there was a thing at my work about someone taking... So people got into the habit of leaving their... I think this is hilarious. So you know when people do that cycling, sort of, when they have those special clothes that they use? They're cycling... They're like 10-speed cycling with the stupid helmet that's straight with a peak. they do that and they cycle to my work. And then people were taking off their sweaty cycling, like all in one suits, and hanging them over the banisters, which obviously is not okay. I mean, it's not okay in your house, let alone
especially
in your work.
Especially after a bit of gin, mate.
Just that aroma. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it just, you know, you could probably wring it out of there. But there was a sort of new maintenance guy and he started taking everyone's stuff. Which meant that people would be coming in and going, sorry, I left my cycling. I can't remember what they called them, but it was kind of like a word for bike leathers that sounds a lot dweebier, like cycling.
My patches.
My cycling lycras, was it? Something terrible.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. But they'd say that, and it's like, oh yeah, no, you can't actually do that, and they would be baffled as to why they couldn't. But it's like, what are you doing, mate? Today I found sandals in the toilet. It's not okay. Stop leaving your stuff everywhere. But yeah, I mean, that's, I don't really have a point. I'm sorry.
Seamless.
Just ignore everything I say.
David, do you... This is me being seamless as well. Do you have a preference when it comes to writing or performing?
What do I prefer?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a preference or do you enjoy both equally or...?
I think if I could have, if I could have my way, it would be to write, and then maybe do my night once a month, and then, I mean, I do enjoy. I mean, I've hated stand up until about a year or so ago. Mm. Really struggled with it, but I've started enjoying it again. But I think my preference would be to write, and then I like doing my night.
Yeah,
it feels like a party, and
exactly,
and I like picking the comics and
yeah.
But I think right.
How long have you been doing Getting to Know You now?
About 3 years, I think. 2 or 3 years, yeah.
It's every time I've been to that night as well. It's like your core fan base as well, and it is like a party.
Yeah,
you're saying you've not been enjoying stand up. Certain gigs or certain things that
no,
put you
I
off.
No, I just found getting on stage just a bit of a struggle. Mm. Just the whole showing off thing was just had a battle with it. And writing with Joe, I was like, oh, I really enjoy doing this.
Yeah. Mm. That was Joe Wilkins.
Yeah. So
you had a sitcom with him at Rovers?
Yeah.
How did that come about? That was...
So we just got together and kind of said, what should we write about? And wrote this thing about the football club, sent it to Craig Cash. He liked it. And then just over about a year, took it to Sky. They liked it. Wrote another episode, had a read through, and it just... So we got it on TV, like, it's really easy. And then they cancelled it, and we're like, just next thing we write, that'll go on. No, it won't. So, that was really, but it was really good fun, and just getting up on a Monday morning to write was great.
Oh, with not that kind of, well, that's sometimes, like, obviously, still fairly new, but that's sometimes I do get that kind of, I took a break for like 2-3 years just because I stopped. Yeah. Enjoying it,
yeah.
And that was that kind of thing of I just wasn't enjoying getting on stage, and it became something that I wasn't looking. I was doing it because I felt I had to do it to
ask my wife what I'm like, or what I was like when I had a gig. I'd just be so miserable.
Yeah, but in the build up to it, or
just leaving the house and just like fucking hell. Yeah, and that I thought this isn't a good way to.
Did you ever do a lot of those sort of clubs?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, no, I did in the first 5-6. In fact, I did it for way too long, and I should have started writing hour shows and just. I try to battle through and try and win them round. You're like, you're never going to win them round. I think the Comedy Store said, yeah, you never spot if you change everything you do on stage.
Take that wig off. Remove the fake nose.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just too much of a... I don't know why I tried for so long, but yeah.
Well, there is that thing, isn't there? So I can imagine sort of a stag do, or those people that are sort of... I always find they're sort of kind of caught by a comedy night rather than wanting to go to some comedy would be sort of like not really knowing. I imagine some of those people, you would completely blow their minds to the point where they're like, I don't, you know, there's...
Yeah.
I've seen like the strangest stuff really work for it, just because it's a strange work for a stag do. Like Candy Gigi, I've seen her destroy, like make a stag do adore her.
Right,
just because she got them all up on stage, joining in, doing the weirdest stuff.
Yeah.
If she'd have gone on there, and if that hadn't been part
that
of the
helped,
act. Yeah.
Doing the audience. Style. Yeah. Interaction.
Well, that's the thing. Every time I've either performed to a stag do or spin in the audience, that's when they seem to just get most on board, is make fun of the stag,
get one
of them or two of them involved, and you've
that's
what they've wanted all along.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just find it much more fun writing that your own show. And
do you look forward to your own gig more than you would?
Well, the Brighton one?
Yeah.
That's not, that's just fun. I mean, I did go, I think the first year I struggled with it because I was hating stand-up. I wasn't writing anything new, and I think I was literally coming on stage doing a minute, bringing the axe on. But I enjoyed watching it. But now, I really enjoy it,
That's good.
Yeah.
A little birdie has told us as well that you are going to keep my sources tight-lipped, although this may reveal who told us.
Yeah.
You're a fan of Alan Titchmarsh. Is this true?
He's all right.
Our sources are incorrect. Report back, Al.
I will report back.
Who isn't, though? Surely everyone's.
Well, I think our source made it out that you were.
Can I interrupt? So you don't particularly like.
No, I like him, but everyone likes him, don't they?
Well, no, I wouldn't call him. Well, like, I don't actively seek out his work.
Right. Well, I do.
So there you go.
Getting to the crux of it.
Tell us how much you love him.
Do you know, actually, when I met my wife, she said, was it my wife? She sent me an email going, so we met in Edinburgh, and she sent me an email going,
do you like Alan Titchmarsh? Really?
She said, I've got two tickets to Alan Titchmarsh's daytime TV show. Do you want to go? And I was like, fucking hell, she's sexy.
That could have been any celebrity. I've got an hour-long Noel Edmonds interview. Do you want?
No, I really like. I love watching Alan in a garden. But Alan.
listeners, Joe just spat out gin.
But isn't Alan sort of part of that under the umbrella with Maidley?
Yeah.
You know, you can watch them all day long, can't you? I mean, last week I just...
It's a national treasure.
Well, I was YouTubing Richard Madeley last week, just trying to find all the little interviews. It's so entertaining.
And that one where he's hosted... What is it called now? Good Morning Britain.
Yeah.
That video compilation is fucking incredible.
But it's all that sort of 50, 60-year-old bloke that's... I just fucking love
it. So it's not a specific Titchmarsh
kind
of...
Well, I like gardening.
Yeah,
so I've got
the two just go hand in hand then.
Well,
if Richard Madeley got in the card,
Wow, that'd be ultimate.
I'm sure he'd have some caucus to say.
It's just sort of everything's all right with the world, isn't it? When you watch Alan Titchmarsh, is it? You know, how much have you watched of him?
To be fair, I've not watched. I watched the gardening stuff when I was younger, like the Dimmock years. And
saw her yesterday, actually, and she's...
Three bridges.
She was around the Wivelsfield area. I think Joe's really struggling.
Stop it. The Dimmock years.
The Dimmock years,
why does it always happen when I do gulp of drink?
But she's really filled out. Yeah.
That's how I judge. Like that's how I measure all people's careers of the Dimmock years. What were they doing around that time?
Right. Yeah.
Who was the other guy? Because it was Charlie Dimmock.
Peter, not Tony. No. Ted.
His name's gone. We'll add
Walsh,
in the name.
Walsh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
Tommy Walsh.
Tommy Walsh. That's the one.
Yeah.
But that's all I've watched, because I know he had the chat show, but...
I think I googled Tommy Walsh recently just to see how...
It is all these people!
It is, they're sort of people in their 60s and just kind of, when are they going to die? So I want to see how close they are to the end and then tweet a picture of them.
They're their career point.
Yeah.
Have you got? I found out that, you know, Mark Heap.
No,
yeah. I recognise the name.
He's
Mark
Heap. He's 80 in 20 years. That's insane, isn't it?
Wow. Do you have a picture of all their curtains ready to go from when they die?
yeah, that blew my mind. And Ray Wilkins is 80 in 19 years. Yeah.
Mark Heap doesn't seem that old. No, he's 60 years old.
Same with Frank Skinner.
But he's been in everything for so long, hasn't he, I suppose?
How long till Frank Skinner's 80?
20 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like a maths question. <isn't it? laughs>
They've really jazzed up those GCSE questions. That's completely fair enough.
Yeah, I do like him. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So weird. Such an oddly large amount of time from that question. It seems like that was about an hour ago.
have you recovered from choking?
I know,
gin?
Mate. I really did have some trouble there. I thought, it has gone down the wrong way. But
was it the Dimmock years that set you off?
I'm all right. I'm back. Yeah, the Dimmock years was definitely a struggle. but yeah, I'm back now with you guys and I'm ready to talk about Ground Force.
Do you like Monty Don?
Not seen.
Oh dear. Yeah.
We're just on two different wavelengths.
As we established earlier, we used to live on different sides of the cricket ground.
Yeah.
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 Is this one of the more professional podcasts?
I haven't done any podcast. This is the first podcast I've done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I said it was an exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah. I did Screw Boosters. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. But no, I've taken to it like a duck to water.
Yeah. Have a look. Would you ever get Alan Titchmarsh on your podcast?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Has there any been, because obviously when you approach, has there ever been someone you've approached and that you've not sort of known them through working with them before?
Well, for my night?
Your night or podcast or?
Also Harry Hill. No, I met him like a month before then and I don't know if I'd met Al Murray. I just got in touch with him. Yeah. I think most of them I've met and worked with. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find it easier? I mean, well, I suppose not, but like on the podcast and stuff like that, do you find it easier if you've already known them or?
Because David's in the room and I feel like I need to prepare them.
It makes it sound like you've got him like a budgie cage before you release him.
What I love about it is that, you know, we've had some great comics in there and no one can keep up with him. No one, and I kind of, to David sort of chatting away and I look at the guests and they're just and they try and keep up, but he's just
and you had the David Edwards special against to know you as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I really like that.
How was that? I missed that one.
I enjoyed it. he's unbelievable.
I could say as an audience member that was one of the funniest nights I've ever had in my life. Honestly, that's so good. So
I kind of want to do maybe one a year. I don't want to do it, go over the top, but I just want to make it such a great night and stick him in the middle of it. He was just so funny, I thought. Mm. So funny.
He's very difficult to compete with on a night.
He's unbelievable. He's got a quick brain.
Well, and he's so modest as well. I just remember him seeing so nervous before he went on and then just...
Yeah, no,
it's,
yeah.
I
love seeing backstage because he's just... he's got some great acts on the stage before me. He's just not interested. And then he comes out, hello!
That's brings us swiftly to the plug section of the podcast. The bit we've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
Have you got anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, so I'm going on tour and tickets aren't selling as it goes. What do I say? I'm going on tour around the country. I've got a website. God, it's boring. Forget it.
Uh, go check him out on tour. Yeah. Yeah. We'll post the link up, it's fine. And go check out Gittins to Know You at Sticky Mike's Frog Bar. It is an excellent night. Joe, do you have anything to plug?
I am allegedly going to the Leicester Comedy Festival. I don't have a date or a venue because I'm supposed to hear about it today and I've switched my phone off because I'm a professional guy. I don't know whether you guys have picked that up over the last hour and a half, but that's what I am. But yes, so I don't really know anyone in Leicester and I want people to come to the show.
I don't know how big we are in Leicester. I know we're big in Ukraine.
Are we big in Ukraine?
We've had 47 listens in Ukraine since June.
Wow.
So hello to our Ukrainian listeners.
Oh, wow. Ukrainian
I don't know how to say
listeners.
Hello. I'm going to learn how to say hello, Ukrainian listeners, in Ukrainian.
If they'd listened to all of them, that's probably about three people.
47's a lot. I mean, that's...
What are you trying to say? We're really big in one household.
I just keep multi-listening to the same...
Big in Japan.
Really?
Big in Japan, do you?
What, big really? In Japan.
How I say many? Big. I say big. About 73 listens.
Okay. 73.
So about five people have heard it.
That's what, the thing, though.
Each episode, or just in total?
In total.
Oh, right.
I've always wanted to. Like,
I mean,
do,
I'm
you know,
literally still impressed by that. 73 listens.
But
in
spending
Japan.
Years in bands, it was all about maybe you go and do a Japanese tour one day. Not doing that anymore. Could do it with this podcast one day.
What
instead.
Tour of Ukraine?
Yeah, the Japanese tour with the podcast.
There we go. That's what we're building up
there'd
to.
There'd be 73 people there.
Things they won't, because a lot of them won't come out, will they?
Oh, they'll have a ticket, it'll be raining, they won't be asked. Yeah,
listen,
whatever it is.
They won't.
If we book a 10-seater.
When you say book a 10-seater, we're just going to do it in their
in
front
bus.
Room.
Yeah.
If we book the flights, then surely that's a good move, isn't it?
What, we book our flights and spend the money on flights?
Yeah, they're paying for us. We're a big deal in Ukraine.
I really hope someone gets in touch with you now.
If you're one of our listeners from Ukraine, from Japan, I think we've had some in India, give us a contact us. Say hello. We're friendly
but nothing,
guys.
But nothing weird.
Do no pictures us. Of curtains.
Yeah. Don't call us Turnip. We'll block you from Twitter. bring up your agent twice, because that's fine. As if that's not an insane thing to do.
That, I think, is everything from us this month. Thank you very much, David, for coming
Thanks
on.
For having
thank
me.
You very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you, producer Al.
No worries.
That's all from us this month. Laters.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.